Thank you so much. Man, I like being loved on these by these kids. Yeah, well, how special. How special. So today we're going to talk about a trait of Jesus that we don't really think of often. When you think of traits of Jesus, you probably think of things like righteousness, and goodness, and love, and kindness, generosity, giving without expecting things in return, things like that. But today we're going to talk about a trait that everyone wants. I don't care if you're adult or child. I don't care if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, an unbeliever, or whatever you call yourself. I don't care where you are, you want this trait in your life. So I want us to look at passages of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, and discover the trait that Jesus had that you want. Okay? It says, therefore, let's stand together and read this together. It says, therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. You may be seated. So what character trait do you think we're going to be talking about today? Joy. We sang about it. We're going to talk. How many of you would like to have joy in your life? How many don't want joy in your life? If you don't want joy in your life, you're in the wrong place. You need to go to the bar or somewhere else. Because we're going to be talking about joy today. And every single one of us, I don't care who you are, where you are, what your station in life is, you want joy. Now, I want to let you know this. That Scripture says that Jesus was anointed with a joy above anyone else that's ever lived. When you think of Jesus, you don't often think of that. As a matter of fact, many people think he has this somber face and he's always so meticulous and straight, and he doesn't have any humor or laughter or joy in his life. But you know what? I believe that most people was drawn to Jesus because of his joy. Are you drawn to people who have joy? I want you to think of a couple of people, one or two people in your mind who has the most joy that you have ever seen. You've got them pictured in your mind? How would you like to have that kind of joy and more? Wouldn't that be cool? So we're going to be talking about why did Jesus have the kind of joy that he has, and can we have that kind of joy too? Jesus wasn't joyful because he was the God of creation. I mean, I'm sure that would boast you pretty good. Okay? And he wasn't joyful because he held the world together by the words that he had spoken. He wasn't joyful because everyone at one day, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he's Lord. That's not what had made him joyful. A lot of times we think that if we have more stuff, if we have more power, if we have more toys, a bigger screen TV, a faster truck, a bigger truck, that's going to bring us joy. A bigger home. We think those things are going to bring us. You know, I know people who go, and I don't want to step on any toes, guys, but there are some people who get their joy out of a new gun. Okay? So they get a new gun, and boy, everything's great for a little while, and then the joy wears off, and they go buy a new gun. Back up again. Don't ask me how many guns I got. Just letting you know that that's a high for a lot of people. You may wonder what happened to my eye. I shot an elk the other day, and my scope got me. And so I'm doing better now, though. Thank you very much. I got to get a different scope or something. Anyway, it was a good story. The Lord helped me. I'll do that every time. I mean, I'll get a wound every time if I get the elk every time. Unless I can help it. So, anyway, a lot of times, and I had a lot of joy when I shot that elk. A lot of joy. Woo-hoo! Wonderful. And that joy, I hope, will come again next year. But that's not where the residing joy comes from. And so what I would like for us to do, I didn't read all of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, because there is a little phrase prior to what we just read about Jesus being filled with joy above anyone else. And so I would like for us to look at that in Hebrews 1, 9. We're going to read the whole passage there. Hebrews 1, 9. Says, you love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. So why did Jesus have joy in his life? Why did God pour it out on him? Because he loved righteousness and hated evil. If I were to ask you today, how many of you hate evil? For instance, the Super Bowl is going on today. All right? And I have heard that at the Super Bowl, there's more sex trafficking of children than any place else. Okay? We hate that, don't we? We hate that. And we hate what drugs and alcohol do to individuals. We hate how it transforms their brain and they're not able to, over a period of time, not able to even conduct themselves like they ought to do. We hate that kind of stuff. We hate the evil that's around us. We hate it. Josiah was telling me about, you've probably heard about the lady who's, or the girls who's, stabbed their friend, okay, because of a Slender Man thing. We hate that. We hate it. But I want to ask you this question. Do you hate evil in your own life? Do you hate sin in your own life? And do you love the righteousness of God? When you have sin in your life, does it bother you? When you have anger and bitterness and hatred in your life toward other people, does that bother you? When you do things that you know you ought not do, does that bother you? Do you hate that sin in your life as much as you hate the sin in other people's lives? Do you love the righteousness of God? Do you enjoy doing the things that God encourages you to do, commands you to do, desires for you to do? Do you enjoy doing those things? Jesus loved righteousness. He hated evil. Therefore, the oil of joy was poured on him more than anyone else. So we need to ask ourselves, do we really hate evil? There's a passage of Scripture in Psalms, and David prayed this prayer in Psalm 51. And you remember, I don't know if you know this or not, but Psalm 51 was a prayer written by David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And so part of that passage of Scripture is, cleanse my heart, O God. O God, cleanse my heart. If you look on your communication card, that's one of the things I'm going to ask you to begin praying. And I want to just tell you from experience, if you begin praying that prayer, cleanse my heart, O God, what's going to happen is that some ugly things are going to start being revealed to you. And you're going to begin seeing perhaps some sin in your life that you've not noticed before. And when God starts showing you that, you can do one of two things. You can try to ignore it and pretend it isn't there. Or you can embrace it and say, God, this is an issue in my heart that I need to confess to you and I need to repent from in my life. By doing that, you begin to hate evil and you begin to take on the righteousness of God. And when you begin doing that, the joy of the Lord begins to pour out on you. You receive the joy of the Lord the same way Jesus did. In Nehemiah 1:8, its scriptures talks about us. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So according to Nehemiah 1:8, we can have the same joy Jesus had. Wouldn't it be nice to have the same joy Jesus had? One of the ways that you begin to experience the joy of the Lord is by hating evil and loving righteousness. Hating evil, embracing righteousness. Loving righteousness more than you do your sin. Okay? So that's one way. The second way that we discover in God's Word is the joy that we receive is given to us to give away. Okay? It's given to us to give away. Have you ever felt down and discouraged and depressed and in despair? Have you ever felt that way? I have. And this is what I've discovered. When I take my eyes off of myself and my own problems and my own worries and my own craziness, and start focusing on others and trying to bless them, that somehow that kind of just fades away. And there's a joy that begins to be built in my life. There's a song, we haven't sung it in probably 150 years, that says, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing to someone today. I forget the whole song. But I guess that's all I needed. Because oftentimes, if we're not careful, we begin to just concentrate on ourselves. What can others do for me? I want this. I desire that. Why aren't people treating me like I want them to? And we began focusing on me, me, me. And when we began doing that, it takes us into a dark, deep place. Some of the people you know who's the most joyful are probably some of the most giving people there is. Okay? If those pictures that came to your mind, those people that came to mind when I asked you who are the most joyful people, I would say without a doubt they're probably some of the most giving people you are aware of. Jesus sent his disciples out to minister. 72 of them, actually. There were not just the 12 at the time. There were 72 of them. Jesus sent 72 of them out to minister. And Scripture said, and so they went out and they were gone for I don't know how long, but when they came back, Scripture says they came back rejoicing. Why were they rejoicing? It's because they were serving others. It's because they had lost the idea that I am number one and I deserve all of this. And they lost that idea and began to share with other people what the Lord had given them. And Scripture says when they went out, Jesus said, don't take another coat, don't take more shoes, don't take any food, don't take anything. And I'm thinking, man! But see, when we begin to lose sight or quit thinking about us, when we quit thinking about me and mine and ours, and we begin to focus on others, there's something that happens. You know, this even for non-Christians, this works. Even for non-Christians. If you go give blood at the Red Cross or whatever, not everybody's there who is a Christian, but most of them are just as happy as they can be. Why? Because they're volunteering their time and they're helping other people. It's one of those principles. The more you give, the more you get. The more you give out of yourself, the more joy the Lord pours in to you. So not only should we pray, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, but also we should pray, Lord, make me a blessing today. And here's what you do. If you will begin praying that prayer, Lord, make me a blessing today, and you open your eyes, you're going to see somebody that you can help that day. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. How many of you would start praying that prayer? Lord, make me a blessing. Boy, we have to get our eyes off of ourselves. And, you know, I know some of you may be struggling financially and some of you may be struggling in relationships and a whole lot of different ways, but I want to encourage you, get your eyes off of yourself. See how you can bless other people. And then watch and see how God blesses you. Just watch and see. Watch and see. But we have to do it. We can't God, I'm gonna bless Nikki so that you'll bless me. Okay? He's going to do it, but if we do it for that reason, we're doing it out of the wrong motive. Okay? And so our motive needs to be pure. Our motive needs to be, you know, these people need help, and I've got just what they need. Someone brought a Lazy Boy chair back in the back, I think Dawn is using. She just had surgery, so praise the Lord, we have that. So she's able to utilize that, thank the Lord. And so we put it there so that if people need it, they can use it. They also brought a table. And I'm thinking, I don't know what we're going to do with this table. But I found somebody this week who needed it. And so we were able to bless them with a table. That just, the person who donated those to the church, that fills them with joy. And because I was the middle guy to be able to deliver it, filled me with joy. And the person that received it was filled with joy because they needed a table. Isn't that wonderful how God works in those ways? So, let's get our eyes off of ourselves and begin to look at other people who may need what we have so that we can bless them. When you begin giving, it becomes addictive. And the more you give, the more you want to give. Because there's so much joy in giving. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus a giver? Was he a giver or a taker? He was a giver. His whole life was about giving. His whole life was about giving. As a matter of fact, at the end of his life, he gave his life. Because of love. He gave his life because of love. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? So, the third thing is, I want to share with you something. Tom, I almost forgot about that. you was probably, you, if you didn't see this, so yeah, just put it right up here. I'll get it. Go ahead and get the chimney too. TJ, on the bottom, I put a picture. It's on the bottom. If you would pull that up, it's a little icon at the very bottom. It looks like a little mountain scene or something. All right, try see if that comes up. So, this was when I was in Haiti. Move this over just a bit. This was the school cafeteria. Actually, there's a school kitchen. And they cook for 400 kids a day on that open fire. Can you guys see okay? And I'm thinking, man, there's got to be a better situation, solution. So this week, a fella came to town who sold these stoves. And we watched a demonstration, Tom and Renee and I, went the other day, watched a demonstration. He put in about 5 sticks, about a half inch thick by 1.25 inches, 1.5 inches wide, 16 inches long. And before those sticks had burned up, this water was almost boiling. You could see the bubbles at the bottom of the pot. It hadn't come to a full boil. Oh, yeah. And so the water was about half full. It was about half full of water. And it doesn't get hot here. It gets hot here, but it's not like it will blister you. Okay? And there's no smoke. It burns the smoke and everything. And so I was at Tillamook at Men for Christ yesterday, and the Tillamook Men for Christ purchased this so I can take it to Haiti with me. Next time I go. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So next year I would like to take at least 4 of these. They're only $595 a piece, which is very good. And so actually this is 49 pounds. And it's the same dimensions as a piece of luggage, and so you don't have to pay for anything other than, you know, your regular luggage. It's not like, so isn't that amazing? Ingenuity. God is doing some marvelous things to help these people. And the person who shared, very humble, very joyful person, because he's able to help people in third world countries. It's amazing. As we give to others, God fills us with joy. The last thing, in regards to Jesus and his joy, Scripture says, being in the Lord's presence brings great joy. In Psalm 16:11, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Go ahead. If you have that Psalm 16:11, I want them to see that. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and your right hand are pleasure forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. How many of you have ever been in maybe a prayer group or a worship time when you felt just the joy of the Lord just permeate the place? Scripture says that in your presence, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be in His presence. Scripture says in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. I had the opportunity last week, and this is probably about my 20th year to do this, had the opportunity last week to go to Cannon Beach Conference Center with a bunch of other pastors for a prayer summit. And there were 19 of us. And we, from Monday through Thursday, we just kind of pray and worship together. And there were times in our presence together, we could feel the presence of the Lord, and there was just, you know, the joy was just unbelievable. One of the things, here's the deal. A lot of us pray, all of us pray, I'm sure. But here's, when you begin to get your heart engaged, thanking the Lord and praising Him, there's something, again, it takes our minds off of ourselves, our troubles, our problems, our difficulties, and we begin to focus on the Lord and just look up to Him. In Him alone, there's something that happens. The joy of the Lord comes down. And I wish every Sunday we could experience that. We've experienced that at times here. I wish every Wednesday evening when we have prayer, we could experience that. But there's a passage of Scripture in Psalm 100. And David tells us what we need to do when we enter in to prayer. And the first thing it says, and this ESV, it says, make a joyful noise. In the New King James Version, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. So make a joyful shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! We practiced that before some of you got here this morning. So, now that you know what's going on, all of you can participate, okay? Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! You know, I think we ought to do what Scripture says, do you? And if it says make a joyful shout to the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody might hear me. If you enjoy the Eagles or the Patriots today, you're going to make some shouting. That's not either one of my team, but I'm probably going to shout anyway. Okay, because I like to watch football. But we need to make a joy. So he says, listen, I want to read this. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. We are not His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Sorry about that. And it goes, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. When you're doing, you know, many times, if we've got a trouble, difficulty, we all pray. I don't care who you are, you pray. Okay? But it's almost like sometimes, the only time we pray is when we have some problems. And all God hears from us is, God, I need help! God, I need help! God, I need help! And you know what? He helps, doesn't He? He's okay with that because He loves you. If you've got children or grandchildren, if the only time they called you is when they needed help, it would probably get a little old. Oh, calling again. I don't know if I want to answer. Because they're going to need something. What if you began your prayer time with thanksgiving and praise? What if? And what if you entered the gates and entered the courts of the Lord and entered His presence through thanksgiving and through praise? What if? And what if you experienced the presence of the Lord through the joy? Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus just kind of talked to His Father like, hey, Dad, I need this again. Hey, Dad, I need this again. No, I believe He entered just the way David said we should. I think He entered through thanksgiving and praise. And I believe this, I know this, I've experienced it. If you will do this with the right heart, not like, I've got to get this out of the way so I can tell Him what I really need, But if you'll do this with an open heart, a heart of gratitude, a heart of praise, and enter into His presence, some of that stuff won't really matter anymore. It won't really matter anymore. Because the Lord is going to fill you with His joy, and you're going to know everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Whatever I know, everything's going to be all right. I don't know how it's going to be all right. I just know it's going to be all right. God's got it. Cynthia asked me the other day, she said, "How big is God?" And I said, "Well, you know, I was going through Hebrews. Well, He spoke the world into existence. He holds everything together." And going on down, I said, "What do you think?" He said, "He's big enough."
All right.
Okay. Yeah, messed me up. He's big enough. Whatever, He's big enough. Whatever it is you're going through, He's big enough. He's big enough. There's also great joy in knowing Jesus. If you've never experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've never been cleansed of your sins and allowed the Holy Spirit to come into you, to take up residence in you, you don't know what joy is. You don't even know the description. You can't even define it. Because joy, true joy, only comes when you have a right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's the only way it comes. God has anointed Him, Jesus, with the oil of joy more than on anyone else, and you can have that joy if you receive Christ as your Savior. If you love righteousness and hate evil. If you begin blessing others, and if you enter into prayer with thanksgiving and praise. Father, I come before You today. I thank You for being here with us today. Lord, we can feel Your presence. And Lord, I see on the faces of many sitting here today, they want that joy. They want what You offer. So I'm asking You, Lord, to move even more upon their heart. Moving even more upon their life. And God, right now, that You would let them know what they need to do at this moment to receive that joy. God, some of them have been perhaps resisting You. Lord, I pray that now they would no longer resist You. They would no longer resist Your salvation, that they would experience You. Or there are others who may have been walking in disobedience and they've been loving the disobedience rather than loving You. Even Your children do that. I've done it myself. Lord, I pray right now that they would determine that they're putting away evil and embracing righteousness. And Lord, I pray, God, there are people that they know need their help and they can help. And so I pray, God, that they would take that stand and say, you know what I'm going to do, what I'm going to ask to do, whether I can afford it or whether I feel like it or whatever, I'm going to do it. Lord, forgive us for approaching Your throne like You're a Santa Claus and not giving You the glory and the praise You deserve. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. You'll never experience His plan until you receive Christ as your Savior. If you're here without Christ today, I would like to lead you in a prayer to help you connect with Him. If you're here today and would like to receive Christ as your Savior, would you just raise your hand? I won't embarrass you, call you out, but I will help you. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Here's what I like to do. There was one who raised their hand, and so I'm going to invite him to pray, but not only him, but I'm going to invite the rest of you to pray with him. Okay? I want you to just pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I've walked in my own ways, and I've rejected you. But today, I reject my old ways. I repent of my sin. Forgive me, Lord. I know that Jesus died for me to take away my sin. He died for me so that I can have a relationship with God the Father. He died for me. And then He rose again to give me a new life. Lord, I want that new life. I trust You, Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give my life to You. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to have an invitation. And if the Lord has laid upon you something that you need to get straight with Him, I'm going to...